Well, good morning. I'm just grateful that we can continue to be Elevation Church without Todd and Trina, and that we can give them a break for a week. They're up in Denver. It's not exactly a vacation for them. They're moving grandma, so I mean, that's a lot of work, I'm sure. So it's one of those things where, like, you know, a working type vacation, but I'm just grateful that we can continue to go on and be the church, and that they can have that break for a moment. You know, isn't that wonderful? And we can continue to be Elevation Church. And we're going to transition right now, and we're going to go to communion. And go ahead, Jim, and pass out the elements, please. Out yet, there's two wrappers on the top. The foil gets the bread out, and then the next paper pulls out for the juice. But I'd like you to focus on something, and it's funny, I told Sandy, I go, you know, I think I want to focus on thankfulness, and she goes, that's great with Thanksgiving. I went, oh yeah, I didn't correlate, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, but I want to just think for just a moment about being thankful to God, and I want you to just take a moment and just bow your heads for a moment, and I just want you to think about what he did on the cross for you, and just take a moment just to say thank you. Just say thank you, Lord, for what you did, that you shed your blood and your body for me. We can have eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. So, he picked up the bread. He's sitting there with his disciples. They don't even know what was going to transpire. They're sitting there, and he picks up the bread and says, he took the bread, and when they gave thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take and eat. Think about the confusion of those disciples that were sitting right there. And they're going, what's he talking about? What is going on here? And he picks up the cup. And he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup and he drank. He went on to say, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can have that opportunity to take a moment and just stop and pause for a minute. Isn't it wonderful? So we are now ready to get into the Word of God. And I'm going to remind you of something if you don't remember or if you've never heard me speak, that I am related to Samuel Clemens, right? I'm related to Mark Twain. All right, so if you've read anything about Samuel Clemens or Mark Twain, you know he was a little bit weird. I mean, he's wrote some weird stuff, right? And I have an app on my phone that's got Mark Twain quotes. And I can just hit there and hit a quote. And I can go through these quotes, and they are bizarre, you know? And so I'm going, hey, I got his genes. That's my excuse. You know, I'm a little bizarre, right? You know, I mean, I don't know what your excuse is. My excuse is that I am related to Mark Twain, so I have these weird things that happen to me. So what we're going to do right now, I'm going to share a story with you. We're going to read scripture, and we're going to jump into the Word of God. And the story I'm about to tell you is a true story. It's something that happens. I have all these weird things that happen to me. So I'm going to share the story with you, and so you're going to think I'm probably making this up, but it's not, I promise. I bought a used car, and whenever I buy a used car, I go to a dealership, they have one key. It's like, did somebody drive by the dealership going, I think I'll trade in my car today? You know, they don't bring the extra sets of keys, right? So you get one key for the car, you're like, so now I got to go get some extra keys, right? So I went to the manufacturer of the dealership of the car I bought. I said, can you make a key for me? And they go, sure, they make them, they don't work. I'm like, the dealership couldn't even make a keys to make the car work, you know. So I went to another dealership in Grapevine. So I walk up to the counter, and can you make some keys for me? Sure. She makes three keys. I go, before I pay, do you mind if I just go try them first? And she goes, yeah, no problem. So I take the keys off the counter, you know, and I go walking to the door, and I get to the door, and it's one of those with the window like this, with that bar there. And I'm standing like this, ready to open the door, and I look out the window, and there's a tarp on the ground, and there's 2 gallons of paint, and there's a ladder there, and there's two painters, and they're going like this. And I'm going, do I really want to go out this door? You know, I'm like trying to decide, you know, should I go out? And my immediate thought was, I don't want to get white paint on my shoes. I just bought a black car with black interior. I don't want to get white paint in there, you know. So I'm trying to decide what to do. And I saw this other guy down at the other end of the aisle. And I said, oh, is that door open? And you won't believe who I was talking to. I was talking to myself. It was a mirror. In public, I was standing there talking to myself. And it was a full-length mirror for the whole waiting room. And there are people sitting in the waiting room, right? And the TV's on, and there's a lady sitting there, and there's a guy right next to me. And I'm going, oh, is that door open? And he thinks I'm talking to him. He goes, I don't know. And I'm like, and I just froze. And I'm just standing there. I'm going, that's me. You know, I'm like, I go, never mind. I lost it. And you know, I shouldn't even said anything because the guy didn't really know what I was talking about. You know, I get out, and I go out another door, try the keys, they work. I go in, pay for them. I'm driving out of the parking lot, and I'm going, is this door open? And I start laughing, and I'm hysterically laughing all the way home. I could barely tell Sandy when I got home. I was laughing so hard over, is this door open? And I talked to myself in public in a mirror. So it was I'll never forget that. And my kids, every now and then, just 2 months ago, one of my kids said, Dad, tell me the story again. So I'm like, okay, I'll tell you the story again. So anyway, that's my story. Now you know a crazy person is speaking to you today, all right? So now we're going to go ahead and transition into the scripture, and we're going to read James 1, 19 to 27. I'm going to put on the screen here the NET Bible. You put my version up, right, Jared? Okay, the NET Bible, you can pull up your phone app. You can pull up your paper Bible, follow it along on the board. But we're going to read it along, okay? And it goes like this. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. So put away all filth and evil excess and humbly welcome the message implanted within you, which is able to save your souls. But be sure to live out the message and do not merely listen to it and so deceive yourselves. For if someone merely listens to the message and does not live it out, he is like someone who gazes at his own face in a mirror. For he gazes at himself and then goes out and immediately forgets what sort of person he was. But the one who peers into the perfect law of liberty and fixes his attention there and does not become a forgetful listener, but one who lives it out, he will be blessed in what he does. If someone thinks he is religious, he does not bridle his tongue and so deceives his heart, his religion is futile. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their misfortune and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Would you bow with me as we pray? Lord God, there's a room full of people here that are different points of need in their life. 100% fact is that we all need you. So I pray, Lord, that you'll meet each one of us at our point of need today. Open our hearts that we'll be receptive to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, raise your hand. How many students do we have that are taking classes right now? Adults, children, if you're taking in classes, there's a handful back over here, over there. We got a handful all in the back right there. Okay, I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this. I went all through middle school and high school without knowing this, and I was a terrible student. If you don't know this fact I'm going to tell you about being a student, you're going to be like, your grades are going to significantly improve when I tell you what I'm going to do. But I did not figure this out for quite a while. When the teacher says, understand this, you pick up your pen and get ready to write, because she's telling you something that's going to be on the test. I didn't know that. If she says, know this, you pick up your pen and start ready to write. She goes, this is important. You pick up your pen and start to write. You put a little asterisk in your note on the side of your notes. I didn't understand it. And I would sit there in my class. I'd be like, 8 more minutes to class till it's over. You know, I'd be like, not paying attention. If I would have just listened to one of the little hints that she was telling me, understand this, know this, I'd be like, oh, I would have passed my classes. I would have had better than a, I won't even tell you what my grade point average was in high school. It was terrible. So that was, here's this passage here, and look where it starts at. Understand this. And who's he saying it to? My dear brothers and sisters. He's talking to Christians. He's not talking to the world. He's saying, hey, Christian, understand this. Hey, believer, understand this. Hey, church, this is important. Listen to this. Hey, Elevation Church, get this. That's what he's saying right here. And he says, let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Should we just stop the service right now? We all got that. Yeah, this is a no-brainer, right? We're done, right? Eh, maybe not. Maybe it's harder than we think when we look at this aspect of it. Listening versus hearing. There was a story I read in Ann Landers. Do y'all know who Ann Landers is? I don't know, even if you do know, you know, probably if you're under 30, you're probably like, I don't know who Ann Landers is, right? Okay, she wrote a column where you would write in and ask for advice. And she would love to share her advice, so rarely did she allow anybody to make a comment. This guy wrote in and made a comment. He said, I was dating this girl, and she taught me how to listen. And it changed his life, he said. I'm like, what's wrong with this guy? I'm like, I don't understand what he's talking about. I'm in my 20s at the time when I read this, at least 10 years ago. And you didn't let that slide by. Okay. I'm sitting there reading this going, I don't understand this. I don't understand what this means. And so I kind of put it on the back burner. He went on to say in his comments, he said that they dated for a couple years. They broke up. He goes, I'm dating someone else now, but I'm forever grateful for what she taught me. And I'm going, she taught him how to listen? I don't understand. And I remember I put it in the back burner, and I'd go, you know, a year or two down the road, and, you know, I'd hear something about listening. I'd go, yeah, and I'd be thinking about this article that he, this comment that he made. I'm like, what's he talking about, you know? And then it wasn't until years later that I finally figured out what he meant. And I think when we're listening to somebody, it is different from hearing. We are giving attention. We're acknowledging. Mm-hmm. Maybe even asking questions. We are making eye contact. There's a whole realm of listening. And really, the famous one that at our workplace is the one-up thing. You know, you can go in there and go, man, I had a flat tire today. And someone will go, I got a better one than that. I had a flat tire and it blew up my car. You know, it's like, why? I was just telling them I had a flat tire. You know, it's like, why did they feel like they have to one-up me, you know? And so a lot of people, they're already thinking about the next thing. And so listening, it's a skill that we have to cultivate and learn. There was a pastor in Argyle. He's spending 40 years in prison right now. He's 14 years into his prison sentence. And that's a whole nother story. I won't even go there. But he, when you would talk to him, he would get right to your face like this. And he would go, And you're thinking, wow, great communication skills, right? He made eye contact, But then in the middle of doing this, he'd be like, hey, good to see you over there. Yeah, I'll talk to you later. Yeah, go ahead, I'm listening. And then, And then go, good to see you. Yeah, go ahead, I'm listening, And I would go home and tell Sandy, I go, I'm so frustrated every time I talk to him because he acts like he's interested. He'll ask me a question, and I'm talking to him, and he does that to me the whole time. It just drives me crazy, you know? And his communication skills were better than I ever realized because he used it for crime. But anyway, what if we honed our listening skills in our own marriages? What if we were quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger in our marriages? You know, the big problem is in our pockets right now. Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah. Right? We know that's a problem. Distractions. That seems to be the biggest problem with our listening skills. We have distractions. Our children. What if we listened to our children? What if we sat there and gave them attention, made eye contact with them, showed an interest in them? We were at Walmart. I was at Walmart. I was by myself. And I saw this lady in the store, and she was with her 3 or 4 year old daughter. And she's looking for something on the shelf. She's doing this. And the daughter picks up a hat with a big rim on it and puts it on her head. And I was waiting to get to the spot where they were looking at it. And she goes, look at me, mommy. And the mother goes, And just couldn't give her daughter 5 seconds. When you think about that, you're going, wait a minute. She couldn't give her daughter 5 seconds? I know we're busy. But when your child says, look at me, and you can't give them 5 seconds, where is our world gone to that we can't give our child 5 seconds? We're so busy. And that busyness really hurts us, doesn't it? It really destroys our ability to really be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger and really to hold back from our talking, right? The next verse, 20. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. When we are angry, when we're showing anger, people start seeing that in our life, and it's not accomplishing God's righteousness. What righteousness? How about if I substitute a word, holiness? Think of that. It doesn't accomplish God's holiness. He is holy. He is sinless. And when we're showing anger, is that right? I mean, it's incongruent. It doesn't match up, right? We have a thing that we do at AT&T. And Scott, you can't use this for Verizon, okay? This is an AT&T secret. It's called Ask Yourself. And every time you're supposed to do something that impacts customers or the network or whatever, you're supposed to, you're thinking I'm making this up, it sounds silly, doesn't it? You're supposed to ask yourself these questions. And you go through and say, am I qualified to do the job? Is this the right time to do the job? Have the right people been notified? Is there a backup plan? I mean, there's the whole list. We're tested on it every year on Ask Yourself. We have to go through a little training thing, you know, to ask ourselves if we know what Ask Yourself is. So sometimes I think we need to take a step back and kind of ask ourselves sometimes, is this the right time to say something? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's sometimes we have to make that step back. And right now, it's the holiday season, and we have stress. And we're going to go to stores, And what's going to happen to the stores? We got temporary help. Some are competent. Some aren't. Sandy and I were at Target last week. This lady, it was her second day on the job. And she picked, every item she picked up, she looked for the barcode. So she was going, dink. Doing this, and it was hysterical to watch. She must have never used a self-service line before, or never, you know, just pick it up, you move it around a little bit, you know, dink, dink, you know, you're doing this. She's sitting there looking at each one. Well, she was waiting on the kid in front of us. He was like 20 years old. He had his earplugs in, he was listening to music. And she can't find the barcode in this item. She's going, there's no, I can't find the barcode. And he goes, your thumb's on it. And she goes, oh yeah. She scans it. She goes, it's my second day. You know, like, okay, she didn't get very good training. You know, she's looking for these barcodes. She's just obsessing with it, you know. And then Sandy had to tell her where the barcode was on one of ours, too. So it was just kind of comical. And we kind of laughed at it. You know, we just kind of went back or kind of chuckled at it, you know. But and sometimes we can get angry. And that anger, as a believer in Christ, it just isn't congruent. It doesn't match up. We shouldn't be displaying that in our lives. It's not the kind of behavior that we should be demonstrating from the inside out, as the song that we just sang says, right? So, and then in the next verse, it says, welcome the message planted within you, which is able to save your soul. Welcome the message. And so I think that's what I think James is telling us here in the inspired word of God, is he's trying to say, hey, if you're a believer, if you trusted in Christ as your Savior, it's a game changer. Inside, you came to a point in your life, whether you were 3 years old or 93, where you came to a decision in your life where you're going, I can't save myself. I've sinned. I can't make it to heaven on my own. I'm in trouble. And then you hear about Jesus and you go, I can receive forgiveness of sins and receive Christ as my Savior and receive the Holy Spirit within me. Wow. And that's the game changer right there. And it says, welcome the message implanted within you. Welcome that and allow that to work in your life. Allow our salvation to work out of us. And sometimes we tend to put that salvation on the back burner, because in verse 22, it goes on to say, but live out the message and do not merely listen to it and so deceive yourselves. If someone merely listens to the message and does not live it out, he's like someone who gazes at his own face in a mirror. Can you imagine somebody doing that? And he gazes at himself and goes out and immediately forgets what sort of person he was. Live out the message. And what I think he's saying here is we need to reflect back on what God did for us. We need to reflect on that. We need to go, wow, there's where I was. Picture a guy, and he's standing in front of the mirror, and he's shaving. And after he's done shaving, you know, he cleans his face. And while he's shaving, he's thinking about, wow, look what God's done for me. And he died on the cross for me. I can have forgiveness of sins. Wow, isn't this awesome? And then he walks out of the bathroom and immediately forgets about what God has done for him, immediately forgets where he was, and lives a total different life. There's a term for that. It's called living in a dichotomy. When you live two different lives, you're living one way and then you're living another way. You come in, someone living a dichotomy would be coming into church saying, yay, Kenny, yay, Shannon, yay, worship band, yay, Todd. And you walk out and you live a totally different way. And you don't let that impact your life. And then you come right back the next week and say, yay, Kenny, yay, Shannon, yay, worship band, yay, Todd. And then you come right back again and live a totally different way. We need to be able to reflect on our salvation and what he has done. And I think an important key ingredient here is to live with an attitude of gratitude. When you live with an attitude of gratitude in your life, you're grateful for what God has done, that's a game changer. Because when you're living with that grateful, and you're just grateful for what God has done for you, it's awesome. And in verse 25, it says here, for the one that does that will be blessed in what he does. Because you see God working in your life. You're not living a dichotomy. You're not living here one spot and then living over here another spot. You've merged the two together. And when you've merged the two lives together, you see the blessings of God. You bring it together. You're seeing, wow, I see God working in here in my life. Isn't this incredible? And you're so excited because you see God working in you. When you compartmentalize it and put God here and your life here, it doesn't work. You're just kind of going through motions with your Christian walk. So we need to keep that in mind because we need to see that God is working in our lives. There's a big church term I'm going to tell you. Some of you might be familiar with it. Some of you might not. Big church term. Sanctification. Some of you are going, yeah, I know sanctification. Others are like, let's hear it. I was a manager of a computer room in St. Louis, and Jackie comes up to me, one of my computer operators. She walks up to me and she goes, are you sanctified? Just out of the clear blue. I walked in the computer room, she goes, are you sanctified? I go, what do you mean? She goes, well, my sister goes to church and she says she's sanctified. Okay. I said, then yes, I am sanctified. Being sanctified is being set apart from the world. So yes, I'm sanctified. She goes, okay. And she just walks away. I was like, what? Whatever, you know. So it was just really comical to kind of get hit with that phrase. But let me tell you what sanctification is. You're standing here and you don't know Christ. And you've come to that realization in your life. And you receive Christ your Savior. The power of the Holy Spirit comes in. And now you're a believer in Christ. And now you are positionally sanctified. You were here. Now you're positionally sanctified. Then, for the rest of your life, you are progressively being sanctified. You are progressively growing more Christ-like. You're progressively knowing his character and his love. And then here, ultimate sanctification when you see him face to face in heaven. So I think this whole passage here is talking about this. He's talking about what he has done and what he's doing for you. And when you take that step from the world and you are positionally sanctified, set apart under Christ, and we are allowing God to work through us. And that won't happen if you live a dichotomy. You have to live out the message. You have to bring in Christ in your life. If you don't bring Christ in your life, then you're going to be just stale. You're just going to stay here. And you have to bring Christ in your life to allow that sanctification in your life to be able to see him working in your life and experience it in your life. It is so important to bring that in together. You can't keep it in two separate categories. So let's go on to verse 26 and 27. If someone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue and deceives his heart, his religion is futile. I have a problem with the word religious, religion. I always have. Because religion is kind of a man-made way of how to get to God. That's religion. Okay, hey, I found this way. You know, L. Ron Hubbard, you know, he was a fiction writer, wrote many great fiction books, and then he decides to invent a religion, Scientology. And he invents this religion, how to become clear, and John Travolta and Tom Cruise buy into it and others. I don't know how people can, I've looked at it, and it's pretty bizarre. So the word religion kind of hits me the wrong way, because Christianity is not religion, it's relationship. That's the difference. So religion is a way to, how can we get to God? Christianity is relationship with Jesus Christ. See the difference? So I wanted to substitute the word here in this passage. And if someone thinks his religious, he's religious yet does not bridle his tongue. I want you to substitute the word worshipful. If someone thinks that he is worshipful and does not bridle his tongue and so deceives his heart, his worship is futile. Pure and undefiled worship before God the Father is this. So that's what I'm suggesting to you is worship. And the English word worship comes from this old English word that really came out. It was really worth-ship. It was actually something I can't even pronounce. It was like worship-skip or something like that. But it's basically worth-ship. It's giving God worth. So someone thinks he is worshipful, giving God worth in his life, and does not bridle his tongue with anger, with saying things without thinking, if he doesn't do that and deceives his heart, his worship is futile. Pure and undefiled worship for God the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their misfortune. Now, I don't think that James gave us a conclusive list. Okay, orphans and widows, that's all I want to care about. We're not going to do anything else here. Let's go out and take care of orphans and widows. Yes, I think those are two wonderful things to do. But I do think that our Breaking Bread ministry is incredible and that we can go out there and give somebody a plate of food and some encouragement and sit there and befriend them. It was a blessing yesterday at Breaking Bread to see our young teens sitting there with the homeless and sitting there having a conversation with them. Just sitting there at the table and saying, yeah, okay, you know, and just having this great conversation, like, yes, thank you. And that's just so awesome. It was a great experience to see, to give those people some encouragement. And so that, you know, I think that's wonderful. And our charity water that, you know, Kenny brought up, to be able to give somebody a glass of water, I mean, that's not full of bacteria, that they don't have to walk 3 hours to and 3 hours back. And guess what they're doing at that water, at that well? They're putting a school there. They put schools by the wells because there's water there so that now the people are learning and getting an education instead of being illiterate. Wow, what a game changer we're doing by getting them a glass of water. You know, so in case you don't know, we're giving $5,000 for a new water well, and Keurig is going to give us $5,000. They're going to match it, and it costs $10,000 to get a well in, and we're going to be able to bring fresh water to Ethiopia. What an opportunity. And right here, you know, it's talking about, it says, pure and undefiled worship or religion before God the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows and people in need in their misfortune, it says. And then it goes on to say, unstained by the world. Don't be influenced by the world. Don't let the world dilute your salvation. Allow God to work through you. When we compartmentalize, we're not allowing God to work through us. We're putting God here and our life here, and we're sitting there doing two different things, and we're not allowing God to work in our life. Now, let's think back to what we just all covered right here. James 1:19-27, right? 9 verses. This is not an obligation for us. This isn't a pick up the piece of paper and a checklist. Okay, I only said 12 bad words last week. Okay, I'm doing better. I had 15 the week before. This is not an obligation for us. This isn't, oh, I got angry 4 times. Well, that's an improvement. You know, just a few months ago, I was angry 10 times. You know, it's not a checklist. What it is it's an outcome. And I think this is just a reminder for us from James to sit there and go, this is what should be coming out of us. This is what is permeating out of our bodies. This is what we're allowing God to do out of us. And sometimes it's a little bit of a wake-up call for us to go, wow, I've allowed the world to kind of creep in on me. Yuck. And then kind of go, whoa, step back. How did this happen? Where did I allow the world to come in there and dilute my salvation. What happened here? And so I think it's a great way to just reflect back and kind of go, where am I? Where am I in my life, in my salvation, and in my progressive sanctification, right? Am I growing in Christ? Am I growing more Christ-like? Am I allowing Christ to work in my life? I got a question for you. I was going to ask for 10 things. I changed it to 5. I changed it to 3. And now I'm just going to ask you for 1. Name 1 thing that you've done for Christ in 2014 that's not at Elevation Church. Have you shared your testimony with anybody in 2014? Do your coworkers know that you're a Christian? Have you shared Christ with anybody in 2014? Do your neighbors know that you're a Christian? Do you see what I mean by a checklist? I mean, a reflection instead of the checklist. We're like just reflecting back on where are we? Am I allowing God to work in my life? Am I allowing God in, you know, from positional sanctification over to the progressive? Am I growing in Christ? Am I allowing God to work in my life? And only you can answer that, right? So let me ask you. We're going to have Kenny come up in a minute, and he's going to play some music here. And the worship band. But I wanted to ask you this. This was to the believer in Jesus. If you're sitting here right now and you're going, I've never got this nailed down in my life. I'm not a believer. I don't know. I don't know if I'm a believer. Could you clarify it? Could you sit with me and talk with me for a minute? I'm not sure if I got this down. I want you to, when the music's playing, to come up. I know you're like, right. Walk in front of 100 people. Yeah, sure, I'm going to walk up. It'll be the scariest thing you've ever done in your entire life. It'll be the bravest thing you've ever done in your entire life. And you'll have a whole bunch of people going, yay, God, thank you for touching that person. So if you came today, and you don't know Jesus, or you're like, you know, I know about him, but I don't know if I have a relationship with him. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure where I'm at here. I want you to get brave and come up and say, I want to get this nailed down today. I don't want to leave here without getting this nailed down today. This is a life changer. It's a game changer. So I want you to do that. Then I want you to think also about that one thing for Christ. It's not too late in 2014, is it? You got some time right now. We got 5 weeks to go. I want you to think about that. Who can you share Christ with? Who can you be a testimony with?